anybody can be beat.
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Joe Blewett and Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets.
And you. Listening to another edition of Jet Nation Radio. I am Brandon Dowling alongside with Joe Blewett. And man, oh man, do we have a great show for you tonight as we are going to be joined by the legendary, and when I say legendary, I mean legendary, Fireman Ed. He comes on with us tonight to talk about his future, everything that's going on with the petition to bring him back, and to talk a little Jets football because, hey, we're all excited, and he's a fan just like everybody else, and he loves the New York Jets just as much as everyone as well. So we got a great show for you tonight. Ed's going to join us a little later on in the show, probably about 10 minutes. Fireman Ed will be with us. There's so much to talk about. One cool thing that I wanted to go into early on, before we get into the Jets talk and Fireman Ed, the New York Jets announced today that that they will be having training camp actually in Florham Park, which I think is actually, for people like us who live around here, it's very, very convenient, unbelievable facility and everything like that. So I think that's great. And I just want to remind you that Jet Nation Radio is proudly sponsored by Mile Social. Mile manages your social media so you can focus on running your business the way you want to. Please visit milesocial.com for more information. So Joe, Fireman Ed coming on with us in about 10 minutes. Let me tell you, we have interviewed so many people on this show, man. Yeah. I am pumped up to talk to this. This really means a lot, for the fans out there because Fireman Ed, and I can't wait to get him, want to ask him about this when he gets on. He's a part of the game day experience. I know he likes to blend in and he likes to say that he's one of the guys, he's one of the fans, he's just there, he loves the Jets. When I went to my first game, you looked at him and you said, wow, he makes the game exciting. And you can feel his presence known at any Jets game. And this is whether the Jets were 3-13 or, 11-5. It didn't make a difference what their record was. He still was a presence at the games, and they were exciting, and he made it a good time. And he got you into the game. He, in the moment, when the Jets take the lead in the fourth quarter, and you know that he's, swinging that hat around and getting the stadium pumped up, it was a special feeling. And you just feel like ever since he has stepped away from that role, they've tried different things, and it just hasn't created the same game day feel. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, no, definitely. I remember going to the stadium, in the early 2000s when I was growing up, and even when the Jets sucked in 2005, 2007, it was still one of the loudest stadiums in the NFL. So for the people who are saying, on Twitter and on social media that it's not loud because, the Jets aren't winning, that's just not simply the case. When the Jets were, 4-12 in 2005, 2007, it was still one of the loudest stadiums. Since he left in 2012, after that whole Mark Sanchez butt fumble, the whole stadium experience hasn't even been the same. I feel bad for the younger fans who haven't really got to experience Fireman Ed and what that game was like, because, Brandon, some of those games, and something I'm actually going to bring up with him, is that game in 2009 when the Jets beat the Patriots, it was the home opener, and we haven't beat the Patriots since 2000. It was literally vibrating. The stadium was so loud, and I just want to experience that again. Season tickets for about the last 3 years, and it's not even close to the same as it was when I was a kid. So I'm really hoping that he can either come back or come back and fix it, or hopefully we get some new guys to do it, because the way they were doing it were, it was almost like a college experience with the drum line, with the T-shirt cannon,
It's just not the same. It's just, and let me tell you something. I know
not
that,
even close.
I know that Ed has good intentions on, having the chant, get taken on and maybe somebody younger pick it up. The reality is when I'm going to bring this up with them, even though the thought process behind that is good, it's never going to be the same without Fireman Ed. It's not the same. I mean, the way that it, you know, when you picture it in your head, you know that feeling, and you get that, you know, sense of, okay, you know, here we go. It's time to get going now. This is a part of the game that, you know, it's, I think that has definitely been, you know, lost. You know, I've been to some Jet games. I've been to almost every Jet game, actually, the past two seasons now. And, you know, last year was a complete debacle in terms of the season, in terms of the team. You know, it was a debacle. There's no way around it. The atmosphere around the game and the atmosphere around the stadium was toxic. You know, you had people – there was people sitting there fighting with each other in the stands. They're screaming at each other about Geno Smith and Michael Vick. It was a toxic atmosphere. It was not fun to be at the games last year. The team wasn't playing well. The fans were fed up with the team. It was a bad environment. With that being said, you know, you move forward to this year, and the Jets have done everything right so far. They've done everything right. They've went out. They've had the offseason to bring people's attention back to the New York Jets. They've revamped their defense and their secondary. They've completely done a 180 in terms of a roster turnaround. They've done everything that everybody's wanted. Everybody's just waiting to see what happens at the quarterback position. One thing I was actually disappointed about, Joe, that I thought would have been a decent signing for the Jets was Max Schaub.
Are you going to say Schaub? No.
Yeah, you know, Well, absolutely. I think when you look at Matt Schaub, you know, so if someone who can stay healthy, I think he could beat out Geno Smith and Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think that he's not a bad player.
Well, you know, I believe he only threw like 10 passes for the Raiders last year, and I believe two of them were picks. I don't think he really looked to the Raiders at all. And the thing about Schaub right now is, for what's being reported, the Jets have around $12 million in cap space. And we talked about this a lot with some Jet beat reporters, with Connor Hughes, with, you know, Christian Dye, with some of the cap guys we've had on here. The Jets right now only have about $12 million in cap space, and then you have to minus about $6 or $7 million of that to the rookie and the rookie contract. So then after that, Brandon, you have about, you know, $5 or $6 million, six if you're lucky. If you're looking to extend Wilkerson, which we all also talked about before, that would cost about $5 million, and then you have that $1 million left. And Matt Schaub signed a contract for, I believe it was $3 million a year. So you're already looking, you know, at not extending Wilkerson because you're bringing in a guy like Schaub. I
understand that. I think, but I also look at how much, you know, if you looked at a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick or, you know, compared to Matt Schaub, I mean, obviously when you look at Schaub and the way that he was set up in terms of, you know, the games, you know, last time he played a full season was 2012, and he threw 22 touchdowns with 12 interceptions with a, you know, with a 64 QBR rating. So, I mean, it's just something that I thought about, you know, when I was sitting, because you want to have options. And, you know, if the Jets are sitting there saying to themselves, well, you know, we don't think Geno Smith is the answer. We know Ryan Fitzpatrick is just a stopgap. You know, maybe Matt Schaub has some years left in him to play, and he could, you know, add a decent competition to the quarterback position. But, I mean, you also look at, you know, are you going to try and get a quarterback in this draft? You know, Jameis Winston at his pro day today. I don't think there's any doubt in anybody's mind that he's going to go number one to the Bucks in this draft. I mean, unless he says something stupid, which is quite possible.
It probably will happen.
Or says something stupid. So I don't think that, you know, anything along those lines is going to change. The Jets did bring Amari Cooper in. So, I mean, there are a lot of things happening right now with the Jets, especially, you know, in terms of the draft, because that's the next direction that they're headed in. I did see a lot of people talking about a running back for the Jets in the draft, you know, to bring in, because you're going to have to bring in another running back, because as good as Chris Ivory is and, you know, as much potential we think Bilal Powell has, you're going to need somebody that's going to be able to complement those guys, because Chris Ivory, you know, can he take on, you know, a full game load every single week in and week out the way he runs? I don't know. So that's something to think about. But right now, joining us on Jet Nation Radio, Joe, I just got goosebumps down my spine. Joining us on Jet Nation Radio is the one and only Fireman Ed. Ed, how are you?
Hey guys, how you doing? Everything's good, man.
Everything's great. Ed, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate you coming on. So,
my pleasure.
Ed, there's so much stirring around in terms of your name again with the New York Jets, and this petition has really, really, you know, taken into effect as I think it's a general consensus that every Jet fan wants you back at MetLife Stadium in your role, getting everybody pumped up, leading the chant. So my first question is, you know, what do you make of this petition, and do you have any plans in the future of actually coming back and leading this chant this season?
Well, you know, I was honored that Jason and his brother Jared Capel got in touch with me. You know, what happened was what I liked when they showed me the website, they got in touch with me and showed me the website, and it said restore the tradition. You know, the Jet chant to me, and I think to most of our fans, is the greatest chant in all of sports. And I just think what the Jets have done with it, you know, is unacceptable. I mean, I think they've made an attempt, but not to anybody's happiness. You know, they kind of handcuffed those guys last year with that contest. I mean, there were some guys in there that I think really could have did a nice job and the fans would have reacted to, and they handcuffed them, you know? So I really, what I want to see happen, I want to see that chant continue throughout, you know, our future, because, you know, it's a big part of what we are, you know? I think when it is done, and it does rock the house, it's second to none. I mean, there's no other stadium in the NFL that even comes close to something like that. So I really want to see it continue, you know. And like I've said in the past, I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure that that happens. So we'll see what happens in the future. But my intentions are to see that, you know, go on.
Ed, you know, it's really, you know, I don't know if you understand how important you are and how much you're actually been a part of the game day experience. You know, I remember back in 2002, my first Jets game was when the Jets were playing the Packers, and that's the last time we actually won the division. Was I think the Jets won right around like 44-17 or something like that after they showed the Dolphins kicking the field goal to beat the Patriots.
Yeah.
And then everybody's sitting there watching it, the players on the sideline, and then they show it up on the big screen, and the game was for the division. And I remember you just, I mean, this stadium, it was like nothing other. And, you know, and my father is actually a diehard Giants fan, and he took me to the game. And, you know, he says to me, he goes, I've never seen so many people react to one guy in an event like this. He goes, I've never seen anything like it. And that's what you bring to the table. I mean, everything that you've talked about, you know, with the chant since you have taken a step back and haven't done anymore, they're trying to replace something that's irreplaceable. And even though it's definitely, you know, I understand, you know, where you're coming from in terms of, you know, seeing it live on, I don't think that there's anybody that can do it like you. I don't think that there's anybody that can bring that intangible in terms of, because what you do is irreplaceable to the Jet fan, and this is not a question. I just wanted to thank you for everything that you bring to the table for the Jets and for the fans for as long as you've been doing it.
I do appreciate that, you know, and it's funny because you bring back that game, and, you know, we haven't had a lot of games that we could hang our hats on, you know, as fans. I mean, there were, but not a lot, you know, and being home in that game, I recall it like it was yesterday. And how that stadium erupted, because everybody was funny, because everybody was on, at that time, there was people with radios, you know, you didn't have the phones, and it was crazy. And what was happening was people actually running out down the aisles, listening to other guys that were on the radio or that headphones, what's going on with the Patriot, you know, Dolphin game. And I remember it and how it just erupted when they kicked the field goal, you know, our game was going on, and everybody, it was just so wild that everybody went, oh, we got a chance. And then that was it. And then, I mean, you know, Favre, I remember Favre just shaking his head. I remember it. And he said, it was just, they didn't have a chance in hell at that point. And that's where that home field advantage truly, I really believe that the Jet fans are so hungry through the years, you know, and it just goes to show you, you know, like right after that, we won the division, you know, we wound up getting in the playoffs and we wound up playing the Colts, and Peyton comes in, right? And we, the place was just electric. I mean, I remember the, you know, the stadium before the game. I mean, the chants that were going on before they came out of the locker room. It was like 98 with the with Vinny and Corbett and them with the Jaguar game. I mean, we've only had a few games like that. And, you know, I just know that if we had that home field and we had that, you know, run where we could be the number one seed and it goes to our house, you know, I believe that, I really, truly believe that the chant and the crowd and the fans, it, we would raise that Lamar Hunt trophy. I am waiting for the day that we can raise that Lamar Hunt trophy because you know what that means, fellas, right? That means
we're going to the Super Bowl.
Okay,
that's right.
And then this whole country, for the first time, would see a fan base that when it, their TVs and they're listening to the Super Bowl and all the craziness, they will hear in the background loud and clear, J-E-T-S, Jets. And you know what? That day is coming. And
man,
I want to see the chant go on. I want to see it happen. You know, and that's really my mission to see it go on.
Man, I mean, I don't think I've ever been this pumped up on the radio before, Joe. I want to hit somebody right now. I want to get.
Well, I still have the passion, fellas. I mean, I've never lost the passion. You know, despite you know what's happened, what's transpired, different things happen for reasons. Some will be on my control, but it's okay because you know what. You know, I still love them as much as you do. I still get excited when I talk to the fans. I mean, the young guys, like between, you know, it's all different ages, but the guys, you know, all the fans pump me up. Those guys that are the madmen that are like, you know, 15 to 25 or 30, they really fire me up because I remember those days. I remember being a madman. I remember being, was the reason why me and my brother did what we did. I mean, you know, I was 24 years old and, you know, running up and down the aisle. I remember it like it was yesterday. So, you know, and it's 31 years later. So it's funny how time has gone by. But you know what? Our passion and our love for that team throughout the years, and it's handed down generation to generation. There's a lot of hungry fans out there, and I know their love for this team is as great as mine. And I know that. And I was very humbled through the years to be able to lead the chant and get 80,000 people on their feet. You know, it was an experience that I'll never forget.
I just want to say thanks for joining us again tonight. You know, it's the second question we asked you, and you're making me want to strap up my old high school pads and go run through a brick wall for you. you know, I have to say that you're definitely one of the reasons I'm as big of a Jets fan as I am. You know, I remember going to the early 2000 games when I was a kid and just loving the environment of the stadium and how loud it was. And you were obviously a huge piece to that environment. So, you know, I'm so sick of people saying that it's not loud because we aren't good. Because, as you know, when we weren't good in 2005, 2007, when we were 4-12, the stadium was still always rocking, no matter, you know, how bad we were losing or anything like that. But, you know, unfortunately, I wasn't there for the home playoff games with the Colts and things like that. But I definitely remember, like, Brandon.
Oh, you could YouTube it, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly.
But you'll hear it.
I remember, you know, Brandon's talking about the Packers game, and I remember the Patriots game in 2009. When the Jets beat the Patriots for the first time since 2000 at the home stadium. And, you know, had players after the game saying that the stadium was literally vibrating. And, you know, I really want to get it back to that point because I feel like since you left in 2012, it hasn't been the same thing. So, you know, how do you feel the stadium has been and the whole fan experience has been since you left? Because I feel like it's completely changed. I actually feel sorry for younger fans who haven't been able to experience the stadium, you know, while you're leading the chant coming up on that big screen.
Well, I think it's twofold, fellas. I think that, you know, the old stadium was definitely a more, it was more closer to the field. It was more, although I didn't like this stadium because of the obviously name on it, that was always pissed me off. So, but I thought that the stadium itself was, you know, a good football stadium, you know, and this stadium, what, you know, Woody had said, and I remember before the, built this thing, how they were going to make it like the Seattle Stadium, and they were going to make it so close to the field, and you were going to be on top of the players and make it a true home field. And when we got in there, it's a windmill. I mean, it's a windmill. I mean, it's a windmill. You know, it's a big, huge building that I really believe you need a combination of guys to be able to rock that place. You know, I just think the PSLs had a lot to do with it. You know, you got to remember, we were, you know, it used to go back and forth in the end zones well before me and my brother, you know, used to go back and forth in the end zones in the upper deck. And we started in the lower tier, you know, and, you know, we can go back to that. You know, I think there's plenty of fans out there that would love the opportunity to be able to do that. And if it means going into sections, and, you know, I think the Jets have to become a part of that. I think the Jets need to, you know, have a combined effort. We have to come up with a plan. It's possible. It's our home field. And listen, I never turned my back on the Jets or the Jet fans, okay? There was reasons why, and they're well documented at this point, okay? At the time, I couldn't really talk about it. But listen, things happen for a reason. It's okay. It's all right. You know, people that know me know where my passion is and my love for the team, okay? And there'll always be other guys that are going to be haters. You can't stop that. If they hung with me and they were around me, we'd see if they were really haters then at that point. So, you know, they go on the keyboards and they talk a good game. You know, I get it. So, you know, I read everything. I see everything. I understand everything. And, you know, like I say, I'm a believer that if you really, you know, it's just our nature. We look at a person from afar and we judge them. And I get it. But what you hear, what you see, just come and be in my shoes and then tell me that that's the way it was, because I'd be damned if I hear somebody say that, you know, I took money or I did this or I got tickets or I, you know, listen, if you hung out with me, we'd be hanging together for a long time. So that's all I'll tell you. All right. You know, I have loyalty and I have plenty of friendships in this life that I've never, has always gone on for the end of time. So, you know, most of them and a lot of them are from with Jet fans that we've been suffering for a long, long time. It is what it is. But fellas, good times are coming, you know. When they say, you know, I left, you know, they weren't any good. Listen, I was there when we were horrible. Okay, yeah. There was no worse years than the Rich Kotite years. There was none. There was no worse. There was no worse years. We were 3-3. We won 3 games or 4 games. Yeah. We won 4 games in 2 years. We were 4-32. Okay, it didn't get any worse. Okay, I felt bad for Boomer, Osiris did. Okay, because he was a good quarterback. And, you know, so there was a lot of days. There was a lot of different times. There was times with, you know, with Bruce Coughlin. And, you know, we can go back and we can go even, you know, with Joe Walton. And we can go back in time. I mean, but, you know, the fans have been there forever, man. They've gone from stadium to stadium. Think about it. They went from Shea to the stadium we don't even want to talk about. Okay. I'm not going to name the name of the stadium, all right? And, you know, I mean, but no, but it's the truth. But the fans always hung in there. What better loyal fan base than us? We've been ridiculed, mocked. We've been called second-class citizens in this city for years, okay? For years we've been called that. I don't believe that. Yeah, success. They've had more success, no doubt about it. And I respect that. I respect that. You always got to respect them. But, you know, there's a difference. I respect them, but I don't fear them. I don't fear them. I don't look up to them. No. That's not. I'm a Jet fan. I love the Jets. Okay? You know what? I fight for the Jets. Okay? It's the way it is. That's why when I see Jet fans bickering and I see these things online, and I, you know, it's really
oh, it was last year more than ever too, though, Ed. I mean, it was almost like last year was more than ever. You know, it's almost like everything kind of came to a head last year in terms of, you know, it was a good era of football that just kept going downhill and downhill, and then everything, you know.
It's the social media. You know what it is? It's this life. There's more. You have more. You know, you can see more now. You know, there's so much more. You know, in the past, you weren't able to see everything. You know, with the phones and with the internet and everything. Now, you know, everybody's talking. So there's nothing you don't see. All right, and so that you know brings it on a little more. But the thing that always kills me, the thing that'll always bother me, is I don't get how Jets fans could fight with one another. I don't get that, because I understand if you're fighting with other teams, but you're fighting with Jets fans over what? We love them. We all love them. We all love them. And that's our team. We're green and white. That's what we are. We're green and white. And to watch that's more than anything. Is my mission is to see the fans come together, just fans united. I mean, because don't we all want to raise that Lombardi Trophy as one? I mean, isn't that what we want to do? Sure as hell, before I die, I want to see it, because I wasn't a Jets fan in 1969. So I can't, you know, I want to see them. Yeah, I wasn't even a football fan at that. I was 9 years old. My father was a baseball fan. So, you know, of course you listen to your father. And, you know, my brother didn't get season tickets till I was 15 and went to my first Jet game. And then I fell in love with him, and I've been suffering ever since, but I love them. I can't get enough of them, because the good times are that much greater. Of course, the bad times that we've had, fellas, just means when we raise that trophy, my God, the joy that's going to be throughout this. And I say it, and I'll say it again. They may have had 2 million. The Giants fans may have had 2 million. They estimated it in downtown Manhattan and the Canyon of Heroes. Well, I got news for you, fellas. When the Jets go, we'll have 5 million. There'll be 5 million. Then we're going to come from everywhere.
Oh,
they're going to come
from
everywhere. Everywhere. Because you know what? There's so many fans that don't even wear their gear. That don't even wear their stuff, okay? Believe me, they're there. They're out there. Because you know what? The one great thing about being Fireman Ed, I got to meet so many great Jet fans. So many. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands. I was so honored, and I was so lucky. I'm so lucky that I was able to lead the greatest chant in all of sports. Just one of many guys. There was the first guy was Larry Mack. He was in the Bronx. He's a fireman up in Harlem. I mean, up in the South Bronx, just retired. He started in Shea Stadium. He used to wear a colored wig and have J.E. and T.S. on his ass, and he used to moon the other team. Yeah, that's how it started. That's how it started. And then we had Don Valenza up on the one side. He was a New York City cop when we went to the stadium, you know, over here in Jersey. And this guy, Don Valenza, used to have a helmet and had a single bar, you know, across his helmet, you know, the one bar. And he used to put the helmet on. They used to go back and forth in 301 and 319. They used to go back and forth with the Jet chant, back and forth. I got all these guys together in SNY Studios a couple of years ago. We did a little documentary, and the idiots never play it. But it's out there. I told the Jets, I said, why don't you get a hold of it? I mean, it's there. You know, the fans want to know, how did this start? Everybody, that was another nonsense. Oh, Fireman Ed, she started it. Well, hey, the haters, listen to me. Again, I'm going to tell you one more time, all right? I didn't start it, all right? But I rocked it, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what? Those guys were great guys. And the Jet chant will go on forever. The Jet chant will go on forever. And it's up to guys like you guys that have the message out there, able to talk to the fan base and pressure the Jets into not letting this thing die. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes to help out. Am I going to come back and forever, or come back you know, listen, I'm 55. It's over, okay? But it doesn't mean that my passion and my love will die. It hasn't, okay? And there's guys out there. If I can help out, who knows? Let's see what happens. Never say never, fellas. Never say never.
That's right. We need you back, man. We need you back, especially with all these new moves and, you know, that the Jets have made this offseason. I definitely think that we could be, you know, well, we're going to see an improvement in terms of last season, because last season was a complete debacle. So this coming season, I mean, are your intentions, you know, with this petition, because it doesn't, you know, the Jet fans, it doesn't look like they're going to stop until Fire Marinette is back week one, waving his hat, you know, waving the helmet around. I mean, do you have the intention on, you know, a potential reunion with the Jets chant, you know, week one?
Well, here's what I want to see happen. Like I told you, I want to see the Jets get involved, all right, without taking over the chant. There's other guys out there that are capable of doing this. It's feasible. The Jets need to get involved in this and come to some kind of agreement where they can make this happen. If I can help out, like I said, fellas, I'll always be willing to help out. Will I be there opening day? I have no idea. I couldn't sit here and tell you that. Okay? Mm-hmm. We'll see where it transpires. I will tell you one thing. I will be in that stadium. Whether it's as Fireman Ed, I don't know. But I'll be in that stadium. Okay? Because I'm there, and I've been there since, you know, the nonsense on Thanksgiving with the Pats. I mean, I've been there every game since. I never missed a game. So, you know, I just move my feet to that. But I still love them. I still root like hell. And it pisses me off when I seen what they did with the Jet chant and how they, you know, it bothers me, you know, and I know it bothers most of our fan base. So I want to see that, you know, and we'll see where it goes. We'll see in the next, we have about 6 months, 5 months. We'll see where it goes. And, you know, I'm excited about the season. I think we made some nice moves. I don't think we're done. I think draft day is going to be pretty wild around here. I think that Thursday night is going to be pretty wild, because we're sitting in a spot where a lot of things can transpire. So we're going to find out. You know, nobody really knows. Unless you're in that war room, you don't know what's going to happen. It's all speculation. I think the Jets will come away with a quarterback one way or another, whether it's, I don't know if it'll be in the first round, but I think you'll see them draft a quarterback. If they don't draft him in the first round, I think you'll see them get it in the second or third round. They're going to get somebody, you know, my opinion. So we'll see. Fitz should hold down the fort, I think, for the time being. He, you know, he's an established quarterback in the league, you know. And
you don't think Geno Smith? What's your opinion on Geno Smith?
Well, I'm down on Geno Smith because I don't like any guy that misses a meeting. Okay, he's a quarterback of the NFL. There's only 32 positions. There's only 32 of them. This guy doesn't go to a meeting. I mean, this is where I had a problem with Rex. You know, he's late. How are you late? You're the leader of men. You can't be late. You're the one that's going to take over that meeting. You have to be prepared. This is what bothered me with Rex, because it was a free-for-all. It's a goddamn free-for-all. You know, what do you think the players were thinking after that? What do you think the players
exactly
were thinking? You've been in the locker room. If you played any ball, you know. All right? The quarterback is your leader, okay? So I have a problem right there with him, okay? And I have a hard time, you know, I don't. How many quarterbacks have you heard be late for a meeting? I mean, let's go back now. Let's think about the last 10 years. Have we heard a story of a quarterback being late for a meeting? I'm just curious. Maybe I'm missing something. That was worth anything? I'm just curious. Maybe am I missing something?
No, not at all.
I don't think I am.
I think I am.
I think
you're spot on. I think that's.
So I'm turned off by Geno just from that alone. So I'm turned off from, I think he's immature. You know, he's giving the fans fingers. He's doing, you know, listen, I get it. You know, I know they go through a lot of stuff. Believe me, I get it. But you know what? You're the quarterback. You can't be late for a meeting.
Okay, so
you got to lead by example.
So with that, you know, how do you feel about Ryan Fitzpatrick, and do you feel that if Mariota is there at six, do you feel like the Jets have to take him, or you know, you'd rather see a guy like a Dante Fowler fall and they take him, or a guy like Vic Beasley, or even maybe a wide receiver like Amari Cooper if he falls? Or do you think, you know, like I said, if Mariota is there, do you think they have to take him at six, or what would you like to see them do?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, they're the professionals. If their grade is that high on this kid and he falls to you at six, they already know. Their draft board should be done by now. If it's not, it's pretty much done. It's close. Okay? So if they have high grades on Mariota, they got to take him. If they have that high a grade on him, all right? If they don't, then don't take him. Don't take him. You know, maybe, listen, the bottom line is this is our team and our scouts. They have to know if Mariota is the difference, if he's a difference maker. And if they don't think that, well, then you're in a position probably for another team that's going to come up and trade up. Maybe you trade down, you get more picks, you know. Maybe they like Bryce Perry from Baylor, you know. Maybe they like Sean Mannion. Because, you know, we're not privy to that. That's where in the draft it's a, you know, we can speculate and the experts, they all speculate. Who knows, you know? I mean, do I think we need another kid, a kid in there, a young kid? Yeah, absolutely. What I'd love to see happen is that one of these kids get drafted, but let them sit down. Let's just have the reins and let him learn. Let him learn. Well, what's the point? Why do you got to throw these guys into the fire right away? You know, I mean, you know, look what they did with Aaron Rodgers years ago. I mean, a lot of these guys that sat, they played well after they, you know, had some time to look and, you know, see the field, you know, from the sidelines. So I just know in this day and in this era, it's very tough, and especially in New York, they're pushing for you, you know. But I mean, think about it. Eli didn't even start his season. I think he came in after like week 9 or 10, you know.
No, you're right.
So, you know, we'll see. I mean, listen, they need other things, you know. Build the team. I love that they're addressing the offensive and defensive lines. I never have a problem. I'll never have a problem with the Jets drafting offensive linemen, drafting defensive pass rushers. Those two, listen, the NFL nowadays is your offensive line, pass rushers, and cornerbacks. If you don't have a quarter, everybody don't have a quarterback. So you've got to build the rest of it. And if to me, you know, wide receivers, I'm not crazy about, drafting a wide receiver that high unless he is just outrageously special. I think we have a guy in Brandon Marshall. I think he's outrageous. All right? To me, you're the sixth pick. You're either going to be the quarterback, you're going to be a pass rusher, or an offensive lineman, to me. That's who I'm going to draft. Because those are true impact players. You know? Even
absolutely.
Like corners, the corners have to be, you got to be a blown-away stud to be drafted that high. You know,
well,
you look
I think
at,
that the
in
Jets
the past,
made their mistake on Milliner, you know, they see what happened with D. Milliner. I don't
think he was number nine, you know?
You know, like three spots ahead. That's a high spot for a corner.
Yeah, you know, I have my questions about, the way Rex was doing things. You know, I loved Rex, and as time went on, Rex started to, I have my questions about his discipline and, you know, because it was always chaos.
Right.
When these guys, I mean, they, you know, here you got a guy like Mo Wilkerson, who is a great, great player and a wonderful individual, okay? And he's out of character in Green Bay. I mean, why is he out of character? You know why he's out of character? Because his coach is out of character. His coach is a screwball. So he's going to react like that. You know, I'm hoping that this Todd Bowles, I'm praying. Because I love his mannerisms. I love the way he sounds. I like, you know, his philosophy. we'll see. I mean, we don't know if it's going to transpire. Nobody knows that. I'm hoping we have another Mike Tomlin. That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping we have a Mike Tomlin here, because I'm hoping we can have him for 10 goddamn years. I'm sick of this. Every 4 years, we'll get another coach. You know?
Yeah.
Like this time
another,
it was six.
Another coach, another
or five. But it's just 4 or 5 years. It's every, you know, come on. You know?
Yep.
You know, it's just, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see where it goes. But, you know, our love for them will never change, fellas. You know, and once again, I'll say this again. You know what? I don't knock the Jets. If I knock the Jets, the only time you'll see me knock the Jets, I'll knock the Jets to other Jets fans when we're talking individual. If there's a Giants fan or any other fan in that conversation, I ain't talking about the Jets in a negative manner. We have enough haters. I'm gonna knock my team. No, hey, they get out of here. Hey, because you gotta get out of that conversation. You know, then I talk to you. Then we talk and we discuss the Jets, and you know, if we're negative with them, we're negative. I'm never gonna be negative with the Jets to other fans. Never. That's why when guys approach me, I always ask them, What fan are you? Because then I want to know where they're coming from. You know? And that's why
Absolutely.
I want to see us stick together. I want to see us stick together. I'm telling you.
Ed,
you
I
gotta
couldn't
stick
agree
together.
More. I could not agree more. And listen, I want to thank you so much for, I mean, your insight and what you bring to the table. And, you know, like I said before, you know, you're a part of the game day experience, you know, going into that stadium day in and day out. And, you know, with, you know, every single New York Jets home game, you know, ever since that you've left that position, it hasn't been the same. And like I said, you know, I want to thank you so much for coming on with us tonight.
I'll tell you what. Tell you something. It's guys like you guys, when you guys talk like that, okay, and your experiences, that's what kept me going. That's what always
I hope it brings you back.
I'm not kidding you. That always fired me up. It always drove me. I always said, see that passion? I love that. I always loved that. And that's why, like, with the negativity, any of the negativity, I always overcame that because it was guys like you guys that always, I know that it's 95% of that stadium's like that. There's only 5% of the stadium that's rotten. They're just rotten in their life. You look through their life, they're rotten.
Exactly.
If you can look at them, if they're spewing that hate, you know what? They ain't spewing it just to us. You think they're just spewing it to us? Their life is in chaos. Okay? So they're the ones that are miserable, and they're behind that keyboard or behind that, you know, they're on a phone. You know, ain't going to do it to your face. So
never.
Anyway, just keep the drive, fellas. Keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a great job.
I got one favor to ask you. I have always, there's not many experiences where people get to talk to the Fireman Ed, so I'm going to make the most of it while you're on Jet Nation Radio. I want to hear a Jet Nation Radio. Just you know, channel yourself to that Green Bay Packer game right now. The Miami Dolphins kick the field goal. We win the division. I want to hear a Fireman Ed-led J-E-T-S chant on Jet Nation Radio. Can you do that for us?
J-E-T-S, Jets.
I can't get enough. But thank you so much for joining us. And listen, I hope for nothing else. I know that you don't want to do it forever, but I would just love to see you back at least for next season leading the Jet chant. We need you. The Jet fan needs Fireman Ed back in their lives. I hope this petition works out for the best. I hope everything that you're saying works out for the best. I wish the best to you, and I hope to see you leading the chant week one of the season.
Well, God bless you guys, and as always, let's go Jets.
Thanks so much, Ed. I appreciate it. All right. That was Fireman Ed on Jet Nation Radio. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, Joe. It doesn't get any better than that. I mean, that's the man right there. That is the man. That person loves the New York Jets more than any. I thought I loved the Jets. When you listen to that guy, my love for the Jets doesn't even – no, I don't think I've ever met someone that compares. And you know something? Whether they're, you know, a franchise that you don't think you can be proud of, he's proud to be a Jet fan.
And as silly as that sounds, and you know, even though it's sports and, you know, people might think that's silly, you know, that means something to everybody. And, you know, he touched on a couple of great things where he said, you know, in terms of the chain, you know, he doesn't want to get people's hopes up and say, you know, point blank, I'm coming back, I'm leading the chant next year, let's go. I mean, but you can hear it in his voice. He knows that this chant and the game day experience with it has, you know, really, really, you know, dropping off. And he knows that. Now, whether it be that he comes back and helps someone lead the chant and steps back on it, I mean, people don't understand, especially non-Jet fans, what this means to the Jet fan at the game day experience. You know, if you might talk to someone, you know, a Packer fan, a Patriot fan, any other fan, any 31 other teams, they'll say to themselves, are you guys really going to sit here and talk about a chant? Is this what you guys, I mean, is that how sad your football team is that you got to sit here and talk about a chant? No, that's the game day experience for fans. And he gets that. He gets it.
Yeah.
So that's what makes him so special. Not because, you know, he thinks he's this big egotistical super fan and he thinks that he's above everybody else. He doesn't. This guy thinks of himself like you and I cooking some sausages and going to the game on Sundays. That's what he believes in. The stories that he has, it's unbelievable, you know? Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, Brandon. I think I would literally, after talking to him, you know, after the first and second question, he's gonna be butterflies. I'm getting pumped up just listening to the passion this guy has in his voice. You know, I think that me and you start a fund or something to get this guy to come to a tailgate with us one time and just, you know, let us cook him some peppers and onions and give him a beer and just talk about the Jets, because, you know, he's just a guy you want to hang out with. And for all the fans who are saying, you know, he's a Dolphins fan or he got paid to do this or he's not a real Jets fan, he left when it's bad, you know, we didn't even get a chance to ask him, but he answered all the questions of all the haters out there who are saying these things that he's a Dolphins fan. He was 9 years old, you know. I like when I was like 5 years old, I used to play with it on NFL Blitz, you know. It happens, but the passion he has in his voice, like you said, it's just incredible. And he talks about, you know, the 5% of fans who hate him and who try to ruin the game for all of us. And, you know, we talked about the game, how it was back in the early 2000s or even the, you know, 2008, 2009 when he was still there. You went to the stadium and, you know, you weren't even that excited for the actual game. I was excited for the chant. I was excited to be a part of the environment. I lost my voice in the first quarter. But now you go to games and it's, you know, like the Steelers game. It was half Jets fans, it was half Steelers fans. The Steelers fans were actually louder than us, even when they're getting beat. You know, it's embarrassing. It's not even close to the same thing. So for him to come back and hopefully be like it was, like you said, in that Packers game, and like I said, that Patriots game, it would make me. I would be absolutely ecstatic, because the game day experience has just completely changed. The guy has gone away, and I'm just really hopefully looking forward to him coming back and, you know, Revis and Cromartie coming out of that tunnel together and the whole entire stadium chanting the Jets chant, because. It needs to happen. When you hear the passion this guy has for that chant, and he's saying that, you know, he had friends who were mooning people with GTS on their butt, you know. You don't have that passion in the stadium anymore. You go to the games, and I remember I went with one of my friends, and my friend Mark, I'm not sure if you met him last year, but, you know, he's wearing a Tebow jersey because he's a Broncos fan. He wanted to come to the Jets game with me, and he's wearing a Tebow jersey, and we're walking out of the game, and people are harassing him. People are trying to start fights because he's wearing a Tebow jersey. You know, why don't we all join up and do this, not necessarily try to fight the other fans, but put his passion towards the other fans and cheer together. You know, we're one of the only fan bases that goes head to head more than any other fan base. You go to a Packers game, you go to a Steelers game, you go to all the other games, and all the fans are one big fan united, and we're one of the only fan bases in the last 3-4 years who fight each other. We don't chant together, we boo each other, we chant each other to fight, and then we do the go home asshole chants or whatever. Sorry for my language, but it just how the Jets fans have been acting the last year. And for all the fans who are saying, you know, they hate Fireman Ed, my blood is boiling, Brandon. I don't understand how you hate this guy. Don't listen to the stories. Listen to the interview. Meet him in real life. Make your own opinions and be a grown up about it. You know, if you don't want to chant and you want to sit down and you don't want to take part of the Jets chant, that's fine. But don't ruin it for all the people who want to, because, you know, just it my blood is green right now, Brandon. I want to just I want to go to Jets game right now. I'm so pumped up right now, Brandon.
No, I think what the issue is here's the problem. Frustration in an organization and a team is going to get to anyone. And the frustration is when you're a Jet fan right now, and, you know, I know that we've done a lot of this show talking about, you know, with Fireman Ed and being a Jets fan and everything like that. But it's the truth, you know. When you're a Jets fan, and the Jets really hit their highs in 2009 and 2010, right, with the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
You're going to the playoffs every year. You got a top defense. You finally feel like you've got the coach. And, you know, a couple times we felt like we had the quarterback in Mark Sanchez, where the Jet fan was all the way up top. You know, we felt good about our team. We felt like the organization was in a great place. And then you come down to, it's like a roller coaster. Then you come plummeting down. The roster gets turned over and, you know, they're making bad decisions. Bad contracts happen. The team gets put into a bad place. You're not winning football games. You're becoming mediocre again. It's almost like the Jet fan was expecting the Jets to get good and then stay good for a certain amount of time. And that was the expectation. The expectation was, you know, this team struggled with, you know, being good on a consistent basis for so long that we finally felt like this, you know, everything was going in the right direction and that this could be a good team for a good amount of time to come. And it didn't happen. It didn't happen. It was like a two to three year run, and then bang, you fall to the wayside. So it's almost like, and that's the problem, is because now we feel like every move that they make, it doesn't benefit the Jets. It doesn't benefit this Michael Vick, Tim Tebow, you know, bringing in Plaxico Burress, those type of guys that they brought in here. The moves that they make that didn't help the Jets, now everybody's frustrated again. And that's the problem. That's the issue, is because the Jet fan is, there's going to be idiots at every game. At every game, there's always going to be idiots. But the Jet fan is a frustrated fan. They're frustrated. All they want to do is see the Jets win, and they feel like they can do nothing right. You got the taste of success. We got the taste of going to the playoffs in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's the problem. That's the issue. And then you get smoked on Thanksgiving. I think that is when it all came to halt, that this team is not good anymore.
Yeah, but, you know, like we've talked about before, Brandon, with those contracts, you saw it spend $3 million this year, and then 2 years down the road, they're paying a guy, you know, $10 million. We all saw it coming. I don't think we saw it cut what it was going to be in 2012. Because honestly, I think 2012 was my worst year as a Jets fan, when you bring in Tebow and all this debacle, and it's just a terrible, terrible year. But, you know, regardless of what happens on the field, and I know that, you know, maybe I don't like Michael Vick or you don't like Michael Vick, but if we see a guy with a Michael Vick jersey on, we don't got to try to fight him and throw him. You know, we're fans. We all love the team. We have to join together.
But, you know, you're right. But that's thinking about it from a rational point of view, okay? There are a lot of irrational
people. Yeah, but they have to be rational. That's my problem. There's a lot of dumb Jets fans. I'm not going to lie.
Well, listen, but that comes – but that, it, as sad as it is, it's almost like the stereotype, Joe. I mean, you heard Fireman Ed saying, you know, he listens to the Jet fans. He thinks that the Jet fan argues with the Jet fan more than any other teams. And I can hold truth to that. I mean, I remember sitting in MetLife Stadium last year, listening to guys argue back and forth about Michael Vick and Geno Smith. And it's like we're sitting here with this low point, and, you know, it's a shame.
Yeah, well, you know, you look at teams like the Chiefs, who were never really historically good, and their fans are still really loud. You look at Browns fans, who in the last 10, 20, 30 years, they're one of the worst organizations in the entire NFL, and they're still
the
a loud fan base. The Jets are different. Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, the fans have to join together, like I said. But, you know, another interesting point that he brought up was the thing about Rex Ryan. It's a thing I said about Rex Ryan for a long time, was the lack of discipline, you know, the penalties on the field, the timeouts and things like that. So he definitely, you know, aside from his passion and the things he talks about with his love for the game. He definitely knows about the game. He's a very knowledgeable Jets fan. You know, when he talks about things like that, he talks about Mariota, and he brings up a really great point about Geno Smith. You know, we've been talking about Geno Smith a lot, and he brings up the point that you're the leader of men. You have guys who are 30, 31, 32, who are full-grown men, who have kids, who you know, they're not 20 years old. They're not 20, 21, 22. You know, well, I believe you're about to be 21 tomorrow night, so early happy birthday. But, you know, we're young kids, and if we were in a locker room, we'd need leadership. We wouldn't want our quarterback, who's supposed to be leading us, late to meetings and missing meetings and saying dumb things in the locker room. Then you have a guy like Michael Vick who comes in the game, and you're an NFL quarterback getting paid millions of dollars, and after the game you say you weren't prepared. Like, this is in high school. I don't know. If I went to a high school game and my quarterback wasn't prepared, there'd probably be a fight in the locker room. You're an NFL athlete. Be prepared. It's just some of the things that came with him were bad, but some of the other things, you know, I don't want to get into Rex right now. I really don't feel like talking about Rex. It's just my point.
Let me tell
you,
though, I was surprised that he really was not high at all on Geno Smith. I mean, like, Fireman Ed is someone who, you know, listen to him, and he's like, you know, a contrary to people's belief, I'm a positive Jet fan. I look at the positives. I'm a very positive Jet fan. And okay, and he might be the biggest positive Jet fan of all time. And he was very, you know, the only negative that he really had outside of talking about the discipline in Rex was Geno Smith. You know, he said he couldn't get past the fact that he was late for a meeting. I mean, he brought it up, I think he said it like three or four times, like, you're late for, it was almost like a Goodfellas scene. Funny how you're late for a meeting. You know, and he couldn't get past it. And I think that tells a lot, because, you know, if especially when you have a fan like this, you know, I was expecting Fireman Ed to, you know, kind of give a general answer on Geno Smith. Like, well, you know, he's in a position where, you know, he's a young guy. You know, he's been through another offensive system. You're bringing in – not at all. He wasn't high on him whatsoever. He didn't even give him a chance. It was, you miss a meeting – you show that you don't care. You don't have the it factor. I don't like you. That's practically what he said about Geno Smith. So, I thought that was very interesting. It's funny how he remembers that. I mean, I remember that Packers-Jets game when they won the division. Last time they won the division, like it was yesterday. I was a young buck at that football game, and that was
a young buck.
that was something special. So, I think that... I mean, it was great, man. I mean, I could listen to that guy talk for hours, and I think that
a lot of people
like to characterize him, and a lot of people like to put him, you know, as this big egomaniac. That's a lot of things. You know, he's got a big ego. He thinks who he is. You know, he thinks he's somebody. You know, you know what he thinks he is? Fireman Ed, point blank, thinks that he's a Jets fan, and that's
He's definitely one of the biggest Jets fans I've ever heard. I really, really, you know, need to meet this guy and talk to him for more time, you know, off air. I just really, you can feel his passion. And, you know, a lot of people are going to think, oh, it's all a show. He's, you know, he's getting listened to by, you know, a couple thousand people. So he's just trying to, you know, say all this stuff to make people not hate him. But he's truly a Jets fan. You can hear it in his voice, Brandon. But, you know, we only have like two, three minutes left right now. So, you know, I just wanted to talk. Yeah, exactly. So I just wanted to talk really just quick hit on some points. For all the people who are freaking out about Cardi's 4-year, $32 million deal, we didn't hit on it last week, but it's only $7 million guaranteed. So that's really only a 1-year deal. We can cut him after this year. A big need that the Jets, you know, had last year and even the year before that is they didn't have a blocking tight end. We picked up a guy in Kellen Davis who is a good blocking tight end. I believe he has the highest blocking grade since we had Matthew Mulligan in 2011. So that's a big need. And Brandon, you know, it's pretty exciting when you look at the team right now. We don't have a crap load of needs right now. You know, we have our third string middle linebacker, Nick Ballor. I think he needs to get signed back. But other than that, you know, we have backup middle linebacker, you have outside linebacker, you have quarterback, you have a little bit of a receiving depth problem.
And you're all about the quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the other position is a receiving running back. So, you know, we don't have too many needs, but I think if we can bring a guy like Denarius Moore and then, you know, a guy like Nick Boer back. This draft is going to be so exciting because we have so much room to do, you know, whatever we want. Are we going to take Mariota? Are we going to take Dante Fowler? Are we going to trade for the Browns 12th and 19th picks? You know, I'm really ready to start getting into some draft talk next week. And this show, honestly, you know, we talked about how we interviewed Nick Mangold, and you got to interview Joe Namath, and I've got to interview Wilkerson. You know, this is probably my favorite interview, you know, to talk to that guy and to for another guy across the phone line to get me pumped up and get my blood boiling and want to run out into a Jets game and bash my head into a wall. You know, it's very rare. So I just absolutely love that interview, and this is honestly probably one of my favorite shows that we've done.
Absolutely. I think, you know, when you look and you listen to Fireman Ed, I don't have a doubt in my mind that he's going to be somewhere involved with the Jets next year and leading out the chant in the for the fan base. But I want to thank everybody for tuning in for the show tonight. I want to throw a big thanks out to Fireman Ed for coming on and joining us tonight, especially with everything that's going on. You know, taking the time to really, you know, not that he has anything to prove to Jet fans and being a Jet fan. You know, if you want to go back, take a listen if you missed it. I mean, it's unbelievable to hear his insight, his experiences, and what he plans to do for the future. I want to remind everybody that Jet Nation Radio is proudly sponsored by Mile Social. Mile manages your social media so you can focus on running your business. Please visit milesocial.com for more information. Again, the sports talk never stops on Jet Nation Radio. It always continues around the clock on JetNation.com. The forums are exploding every single day with new users and new people talking Jets football. If you want to talk about Fireman Ed, the Fireman Ed interview, go on over to JetNation.com. What did you think? Do you think that Fireman Ed's coming back? And what's your favorite moment in the stadium with Fireman Ed leading the Jets chant? I want to thank everybody for tuning into the show, and we will see you next week. Thank you for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time right here on Jet Nation Radio.